Right now, we have Jeff Kimmerly on the line, media and content coordinator for the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Jeff, first off, how you doing, my man? Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you. Things are smoothing out a little bit as we get into the holidays, but obviously with the topic we're talking about here a little bit, it's been a wild few days around our office.
Oh, I am sure. Jeff, can you kind of just go through the timeline here when it comes to Kithier deciding to transfer to Clarkston? What led to the ineligibility, and where do we go from here concerning this situation?
Sure. I'll try and put it in, you know, kind of as basic terms as possible, because this stuff gets a little complicated. So, you know, feel free to ask me, you know, about details, I guess, after I'm done. But
certainly,
it kind of starts like this. An athlete that wishes to transfer between two schools, student athlete, always starts out with a period of ineligibility unless that athlete meets one of 15 exceptions. One of those exceptions is moving as an 18-year-old, which Thomas Kithier is. He moved from the Macomb, Dakota district to the Clarkston district into a condo by himself over the summer. Three of those exceptions require that the school from which the student athlete came sign a transfer form that says, you know, this we grant this transfer, you know, that we don't allege anything, you know, he's clear to free to leave and free to go, and you know, the principals from both schools sign it, and it completes the transfer. One of those exceptions that requires this ETF, as we call it, educational transfer form, is that exception where an 18-year-old leaves and moves on his own. Macomb, Dakota decided to not sign that form. Dakota alleged that Thomas Kithier transferred because of athletics. And we have a point in our athletic motivated transfer regulation that specifically says an athlete, you know, may not transfer to a school and receive immediate eligibility if the school where he's transferring, and I'm paraphrasing this, of course, school where he's transferring, if he's going there wishing to play with a teammate from a non-school team that he's played on or she's played on over the past year. Obviously, Thomas Kithier and Foster Lawyer played on the same AAU team out of Ohio last summer, and he was transferred to Clarkston, where Foster Lawyer is the point guard, of course. And, of course, you know, they're both headed to Michigan State next year as well. You know, that allegation came to us. Our executive director ruled that, yes, there is enough evidence here to say that this is an athletic-motivated transfer. It clearly is spelled out in our rule what is required to make that allegation stick. And so, in addition to being ineligible for the first 6 months of the school year, that the penalty for that athletic-related or athletic-motivated transfer rather is a full-year suspension. And that is what is handed down from this office. Clarkston appealed that before our executive committee, which is a group of five that is part of our representative council that meets monthly to go through transfer appeals to approve co-op teams, approve new members to our association, things like that. Our executive committee upheld that, which is our executive committee, which is made up of educators, a body of Clarkston's peers, let's say, upheld that was an athletic motivated transfer, and here we sit.
Wow, there's a lot to unpack there, Jeff.
That's why I said it's kind of complicated. I just wanted to lay it all out there so you can kind of go with it there.
Certainly. I was taking furious notes as you were kind of going through the timeline there. But first off, I want to ask you this. How common is this? When is the last time something like this, where it's been ruled as an athletically motivated transfer. When is the last time you can recall this has happened concerning the Michigan High School Athletic Association?
I mean, here's the thing about athletic motivated transfers. We also have athletic related transfers. We have a Lynx rule where if an athlete plays, let's say, AAU basketball for a coach one summer and then transfers to the school where that coach is the coach of the high school team, that player is automatically ineligible. We have a couple different rules like that, which are there to dissuade players from moving around and to promote competitive equity, you know, which I think a lot of programs in this state generally are in favor of doing. To answer your question, we have schools call here every day with questions about students that end up at their schools. That want to play sports or have played sports in the past. And we've had, without going into details, I can think of one right off the top of my head that we would have had earlier this year in the that fell into the same basket as the Thomas Kithier situation. And the school, after talking to the people in our office, realized, you know what, yeah, this is going to look like, this is going to turn out to be an athletic motivated transfer. We're going to take care of this before it ever gets to that level, and they did. That is common, where we have schools come to us with situations. We advise them on how the rules apply, what the potential penalties might be, if things are found. And generally, they don't end up in the public forum like this. Before you, we're you're probably still in college and might have even been before. There was an area school that had, and I'm just trying to remember this because at the time I was at the State Journal and I was covering it.
Right.
I believe they had seven players from three to four area schools end up at that school. And that ruffled a lot of feathers around here.
That's a lot of players.
It was. And that certainly raised a lot of concerns, and similarly to what happened in this case, one of the schools that had a player leave made a complaint to the Michigan High School Athletic Association, and what happened is, I believe, if I remember correctly, a number of those players had to sit for a period of time. The coach couldn't coach for a year. You know, and again, I'm not using specifics here because a lot of relationship mending has happened since then.
Right.
You know, a lot of teaching and understanding has taken place, but the people who are around at that point know what I'm talking about.
Right. Certainly.
It just takes a big thing for it to get this publicized. And obviously, this one has become very publicized.
Without a doubt.
So a lot of these things are brought up. It's just they never get to that point because with the schools, we generally work out this is what the situation is and this is what you're facing if you choose to go forward. And we try to tell families, we try and tell schools to tell families that, you know, if you make this move, this is potentially what's going to happen. So a lot of times that takes care of these situations.
Got a question from one of our listeners here, Jeff. Interesting question. How Michigan, you know, they want to know how Michigan is a school of choice state. And what the difference is between a school like, you know, Lansing Catholic and their transfers and this school with Kithier in Clarkston.
Sure. Well, and the difference between this and with a lot of transfers that take place, obviously transfers take place every year. We hear about them. We see them. We know when players are moving around. What has to happen, though, to authorize us to do anything at our office is a school needs to allege something. The difference here is, you know, with any athlete going from any school, it doesn't matter if it's private or public or public to private or private to public, is the fact that Macomb Dakota would not sign off on it. Generally, you know, even if you had, say, somebody from East Lansing transfer to Lansing Catholic, they would have to sit out at least that half a year. And if the schools both signed off on it, that's all it would take. But in this case, Macomb Dakota alleged that there was something more going on They didn't allege that Clarkston did anything wrong. Mm-hmm. Clarkston keeps saying they feel like they're under attack as a program, and the MHSAA found that there's no grounds for any allegations of recruiting or undue influence.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not what's going on here. But at the same time, Dakota felt like there was something else going on. And that's what the difference is. The difference is when a school says, hey, something's going on, and they make an allegation, that gives us the power to investigate and to begin to find out what exactly is going on and what grounds there are for potentially a longer period of ineligibility.
Certainly. And Jeff, due to time, I want to ask one more question here.
You
mentioned the appeal being upheld. Where do you think this thing is going to go now? Kithier is going to sit out, of course. And, I'm wondering about, when you look at the transfer like this, mm-hmm. and knowing that he's going to Michigan State, ideally they would like to see, have him on the basketball court during this time of the year as local teams across and beyond across the state of Michigan are playing. Where do we go from here now? Do you think, when looking at how this situation is getting so much attention, do you think anything is going to be changed in the future?
I mean, it's hard for me to say, and I'm not really in the position to say.
Of course.
What's going to happen, just because it's not my decision. The steps that can be taken, Clarkson can request a full meeting of our representative council, which is, like I said, from which the athletic committee is drawn, and then the whole council can decide on this. The whole council is not scheduled to meet, though, until the Friday of the Class A and B semifinals for boys basketball, so it would have to be a special meeting,
right.
And to do that takes another couple steps of getting three members in writing to request a meeting. We have another executive committee meeting January 10th. If Clarkston has any kind of new information to state its case, it can ask to do so then. That's kind of the steps from that point of view that can be taken. Otherwise, it's kind of up to where those steps go. Of course, there are other things that you hear, that Clarkston may or may not be able to do, people who might be, appealing on their behalf, things like that. But as far as from the MHSAA standpoint, those are the steps that we have if any school were to wish to appeal further a decision that came out of this office or out of our legislative body, as it were.
Okay, my man Jeff Kimmerly, media and content coordinator for the MHSAA. Jeff, thank you so much for your time. You did one heck of a job at really dumbing that thing down for people like me, all right?
Hey, I don't know about that, but glad to help you whenever I can.
Thank you so much, the great Jeff Kimmerly.
Yeah,
we'll be in touch, my friend. Have a good one,
yeah.
All right? Stay
you
warm.
Too.